Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, your mercy, all that you are to us, we thank you. And Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, every person under the sound of my voice, will have ears to hear your word and have a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Having their lives changed because of your word. And Father, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, would you shout amen with me?
Amen.
Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. All right. Now, I've been teaching and ministering on what the Bible called the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, the first principle of the doctrine of Christ. And we've seen from the Word of God that we need to know these things. Amen. These are things that we need to know. This is part of our foundation. Hallelujah. How many of you know, well, all of you know this, that you have to go to elementary school before you can ever go to high school? Before you ever be accepted in high school, you have to go to elementary school first. Guess what? You must graduate successfully high school before they accept you into college. In other words, there are things that come first. And in elementary school, in first, second, third grade, well, first grade, I guess, we learned our ABCs, didn't we? Yeah, we learned our ABCs. Well, guess what? If you don't learn your ABCs, you ain't going far. Amen. Well, you say, well, that's elementary stuff. It's a necessity that you know your ABCs and that you learn how to read and that you learn how to do simple math problems before you can ever do the hard ones. You still here? And so it is with the Word of God, you know. We need to learn the simple things and then build on what we learn. When you build a structure, if you build a brick building or a block building, you know, there are some blocks and or bricks that have to be first. They have to be first. That's part of your foundation. You have to get that solid, and then you can build your house on that. And isn't God good? Hallelujah. See, God wants us to grow to a place where we won't fall. We won't stumble. And it's amazing to me how And you know, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Amen. Where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. But you know what? God wants to get us to a place where we very, very seldom have to go to 1 John 1:9 for ourselves. You follow me? And that's called growth. That's called maturity. That's called growing up in the things of God. And I look at my own life, you know, matter of fact, the Bible says it's okay to judge ourselves, right? If we judge ourselves, he said we won't be judged. So we need to look at ourselves. I look at me and I check myself out, see how much I've grown, you know, or have I become static, you know, just kind of one place. And that should never be. Growth in Christ should be a continual thing. Amen. Hallelujah. All of us should be more mature in 2022 than we were in 2021. See, that's the way it works. And the more mature you get, guess what? The devil just can't kick you around like he used to. Hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes, and I'm not being harsh and I'm not being judgmental, but sometimes you hear of believers stumbling and falling, and sometimes they're in leadership positions. They stumble and they fall. And again, I'm not judging them, because all they got to do is use 1 John 1:9 and they can get going again. But here's the thing. I would rather not fall than have to repent. Now, don't get me wrong. If I need to repent, I'm gonna hurry up and repent. But it's better not to have to. It's better when you can see the trap that the devil is trying to set for you. Christian men, brothers, you should be sharp enough to recognize when this good-looking woman on the job walked by you and smiled and say, "Wow, you look good today. Thank you, ma'am," and keep walking. And don't start grinning. And opening the door for failure. Now, we're gonna go on with this, but I want to say this. You are studied by the enemy, the forces of darkness. They know your strengths and they know your weaknesses. They knew what you were susceptible to before you got saved, and they will try that same stuff on you after you get saved, because you have to understand, your body didn't get saved. Your spirit got saved, and we have to renew our minds. Can somebody say amen on that? We have to renew our minds. Our minds have to be renewed. The forces of darkness know what your weaknesses are, and just because you saved don't mean that they're not going to try you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me move on. But that was good anyway, wasn't it? Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, I'll begin reading at verse 12. And we've been reading this. Say, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. See, all of us need to mature. There's a time in our life when we need to get to a place where God can use us more. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of God, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. Let's go on into chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, maturing. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And he went on to say, and this we will do if God permits. Amen. And I pointed out to you the last time, I believe it was, that verse 3 in chapter 6 of Hebrews is not there by accident. Amen. The writer here is saying, let's go on now into some deeper things of God. But we're only going to do this if the Holy Spirit permits us. But tell me something. I mean, listen, let me say this to you. There is an outward appearance, and then there is the truth. There are some folk that try to act like they are mature, but in reality, they're just babes. And that's the reason the Bible says man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. God knows the real us. So, you know, we can put on a show before other people, but God knows the real us. And so we need to know the real us. And so, I don't know if I get into that tonight, but into laying on of hands, we might. We'll see how far we go. But sometimes we choose people in leadership. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want to say this. Sometimes we choose people in leadership, into leadership positions, simply by what we see on the outside. When God truly knows what's on the inside of that person. That's the reason, if you are in a leadership position and you need more leaders and you need help, you need to do some praying. You need to pray in the Spirit. And if necessary, even do some fasting. Because you get the wrong person in the wrong position, you got problems. And let me make this statement while I'm on it. It is easier to place a person in a position than it is to get them out. Now, I didn't say you couldn't get them out. You can get them out. But when you place them in that position, there is joy. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. I've just been appointed. I've just been made a deacon. I've just did this. And then you realize, oops. And the person don't pan out. And then you have to have a meeting. And there's no joy in the meeting. Matter of fact, the person says, okay, then that's the way you feel about it. Bye. I'm out of here. But when they were placed in that position, they were so glad they were here. Glory to God. So what am I saying? We certainly need to pray. We certainly need to pray. But God knows what's on the inside of that person. That's when we need to seek God first. And like I said, I got a little ahead of myself there. But that's good anyhow, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So having said that, we talked about repentance from dead works, didn't we? We talked about faith toward God, right? And we started on the doctrine of baptism. Right? I don't think we finished, did we? Okay. Amen. The doctrine of baptisms. And I told you that there were three types of baptisms that I wanted to deal with that's mentioned in the New Testament. And the first one was the baptism into the body of Christ. We are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And we read Romans chapter 6. We won't go back there tonight. We were there last week, I believe it was. But you can write it down, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Or if you want to, you can even go on down to verse 14, reading. But that was baptism number one. Baptism number two was water baptism. Water baptism. We are to be baptized in water. And water baptism is for born again believers. Let me say that again. Water baptism is for born again believers. And I shared with you, and I won't go into all that tonight, but I shared with you that I've actually been baptized twice, because the first time I was baptized, I wasn't sure I was saved. But they told me I was, and what they say ain't good enough when it comes to eternal life. You can't stand before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, they told me I was saved. No, we need to know it for ourselves. Is that right? So I wasn't sure, but they told me that I was saved and I was a candidate to be baptized in water. They took me down to the pond along with several others. They didn't have baptismals in the church when I got baptized. They took you down to the pond, and they took us down to the pond, and they baptized us. But I still had that nagging on the inside of me that I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure that I'm right with God. But then I got saved, and I knew I was saved. Amen? So once I got saved, I didn't get baptized right away, but I knew I was saved. And the second time I was baptized in water, I was in the military. And that Bible study group we was a part of, folks were getting saved and so forth, and they needed to be baptized in water. So I thought, here's a good opportunity for me too. I was surprised she joined in, but she wanted to be dunked again too. So we both got baptized. Again, and some folks let us use their church. The first time I was baptized in a pond, the second time I was baptized in the church baptismal. I didn't hardly know there was such a thing. You have to understand, I was from the country. I mean, where I was from, they either baptized you in the pond or took you down to the creek and baptized you. But this was a rather large church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. They had a baptismal way back then in the early 70s. They had a baptismal, and so I was baptized. But this time I knew I was born again. And water baptism is for born again believers. As I've heard it said, it's an outward show of an inward work. You being baptized in water is your testimony to heaven, to earth, and hell. I'm born again. I don't belong to the devil anymore. Amen. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. My sins have been forgiven, and I am a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. That's good, isn't it? And remember, I told you, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, third chapter of Matthew. Now, let's begin reading at verse 13, I believe is where I want to begin. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at, at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Now, when we're baptized, we're looking back at the cross. We're looking back at what Christ has done for us. Our sins was laid on him on the cross. Our sins was buried with him. But when he rose again, our sins didn't rise with him. Amen. So when we are baptized, what our testimony is, my sins was buried with Jesus. And now I'm a brand new person in Christ Jesus. So we look back at the cross at what Jesus did. And we look back at his resurrection, his death, burial, and his resurrection. But you may want to know then, well, wait a minute. Now, why was Jesus baptized? Because he had no sin. He had no sin. But this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus was baptized. We were baptized looking back at the cross, looking back at the crucifixion. Jesus Christ was baptized looking ahead at what he would do for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He knew that he would be crucified on a cross. He knew he would die there and be buried. And he knew that our sins would be laid on him. So he said, John, baptize me. When he came up out the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended on him. And God the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was baptized, making the statement, I am committed to the call of the Father on my life. I'm committed to go to the cross. I'm committed to die there, and I will rise again. He said he'd rise again before he ever went, didn't he? He told some folks, messed them up, said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. They ain't know what he's talking about. Glory to God. He became like his brothers, his brethren, yet without sin. Glory to God, yet without sin. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I tell you what, folks, the more I think about it, my Lord, the more I think about him, the more I love him. Let me ask this question. You ever just, don't feel guilty if it hadn't happened to you, but you ever spent time with the Lord, just you and the Lord, you spending time in fellowship with the Lord, and you're worshiping him, and all of a sudden you just love him so much, and you just appreciate him so much, till you just burst out crying. Anybody other than me have ever done? Amen. You know. I'm glad I be by myself, because somebody see me, they probably think, what in the world wrong with him? You know, Brother, do you need prayer for anything? Oh, no, everything's absolutely all right. Glory to God. It's something about being in his presence that changes your life. Hallelujah. If you hadn't been there yet, go there. Just him and you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, baptism through the born again experience, water baptism is number two. Now I want to go to number three. Y'all, I think y'all know what that is, don't you? Somebody tell me. Y'all pretty good. The Bible talks about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, you're already on at Matthew chapter 3, aren't you? Right? Listen what John says. Now, this was before he baptized Jesus. John told the folks, he says, this is just the 11th verse in the third chapter. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Ooh, hallelujah. That's the third baptism, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to the book of Acts, very first chapter, Acts the very first chapter. And we'll look at verse 4, Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. Now, let me read on. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, again, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, he was referring to the upper room on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. And some folks I've heard say, that's when they got saved. No, it's not. They were already believers. I found it guys, put John chapter 20, verse 22 on the screen for me. The Gospel of John, verse 20. Chapter 20, excuse me, verse 22. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and turn there. I'm right there at it anyway, real close. I tell you what, I'm just going to begin reading at verse 19, John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now I'm going to stop, and we're going to go to verse 20. I'm going to lose my place here. Okay. Hang on just a minute. My Bible flipped on me. My pages flipped on me. Okay. Now, verse 20, let me read it to you again. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Okay? Now, here's what I want, excuse me, here's the point I want to make. When Jesus appeared to them, he showed them his hands, the nail prints, and he showed them his side, where he had been pierced in the side. That tells us that this was the resurrected Christ. This was the resurrected Christ. As a matter of fact, and I don't have time to go into this tonight, but he had already ascended to his Father and sprinkled his blood in the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat, and all that. And he came back. This is the resurrected Jesus Christ that's telling his disciples, "See the holes in my side, see the nail prints in my hands." Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." This is the resurrected Christ talking. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Are you ready for this? Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, or you might can say, blew on them, and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Ghost. Now that could be a little confusing if you didn't know what was going on. Because on the day when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, Jesus had already ascended. Jesus was already with his Father. But Jesus himself is with them when he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You know what happened to them? Them boys got born again. That was the born again experience happening to them. And those same fellows that he breathed on and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost," was also in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. So it's two separate experiences. There's the born again experience, and then there's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Y'all still here? Yeah. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, remember what I told you. Well, let me go ahead and read verse 8. Listen to what Jesus says. This is the resurrected Christ talking to born-again believers. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, has come upon you. This is verse 8. Come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Glory be to God. I'm sorry, Acts 1 chapter of Acts, verse 8. Amen. Now, I find this a little interesting. Also, go with me to, still in the book of Acts, but the 19th chapter, Acts 19. So, the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost did not come to get them born again. He came to fill them. He came to fill them and to give them the power to go out into the world and share the gospel. Now, in Acts chapter 19, I'm just showing you here that the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the born again experience is two separate experiences. And most of y'all know this. You know this already. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. But there are people that don't know it yet. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Listen to this. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You notice that? They were what? That's water baptism, isn't it? I said, that's water baptism, isn't it? Isn't that water baptism the evidence of the born-again experience? When you're baptized in water, that's your testimony, I am born again. Verse 5 again, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, everybody say, and. And when Paul had what? Laid hands on them, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they did what? They spoke with tongues, and not only did they speak with tongues, they prophesied. Glory be to God. Yes, the Holy Spirit baptism is for today. Hallelujah. Are you still here? All righty. Glory to God. I'm about to run out of time here. Probably the kids like for us to stay at 9 or 10 o'clock. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Number 4 is the laying on of hands. And I know I'm not going to finish that, but we just read one of the reasons for laying on of hands in Acts chapter 19. Paul laid hands on the believers, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. You can lay hands on the believers to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is biblical. It is biblical. Not only that, we lay our hands on folk for healing, for the healing of their bodies. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what?
Recover.
Amen. Call for the elders of the church, having them lay hands on the sick. And on and on and on. But that's part of our foundation. Do you know you can lay hands on the sick? Let me see your hands. If you've laid hands on someone to pray for them to be healed, let me see your hands. All right. All righty, it's almost unanimous. But I'm here to tell you, as a spirit-filled Christian, you can lay hands on the sick, and you have a promise from the Word of God. God will use you. See, that's how we're going to win the world of Christ. The preachers can't do it all. The pastors can't do it all. Matter of fact, I heard it said, and I think this is very good, and don't get me wrong, you know, I love seeing people get saved. I love winning people to the Lord and praying with them to get born again. But I heard it put this way. In a natural setting, sheep give birth to sheep, not the shepherd. You hear me? Actually, what happens? The sheep give birth to the sheep, and then the shepherd tend the sheep, take care of the sheep, make sure the baby sheep and the teenage sheep, so to speak, and the adult sheep, if I can use that term, make sure they're well taken care of and protected and everything that goes with that job of being a shepherd. So really, what should be happening is the people of God come into the churches and be fed the Word of God as sheep, and then go back out there and have some sheep, give birth to some sheep, and then get them in fellowship so that the baby sheep can grow. Y'all with me? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. As a pastor, and pastor is just another word for shepherd, but as a pastor, every opportunity I have to see someone born again, I want to take advantage of that. But really, the primary responsibility is on you guys. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. You still here? I'm not. We're going to deal because I got some good stuff I want to share with you that I know that's going to be a blessing to you. We're going to revisit the laying on of hands possibly next week. So I won't get into any more tonight. But is it good? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with being well developed in the fundamentals. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. And we know that your word will never, ever return to you void. But it will accomplish your will as it is received and believed.